It was an opportunity recognized and seized at the end of World War II. Brought a family to St. Louis. It's the story of a family business. This weekend on The Business of Family Business, I'm excited to tell you the story of Setley Jewelers. Gary and Laura Setley join us in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting that presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I want to get to the start of Setley Jewelers. Gary, who started the company?
Well, actually, my father started Setley Jewelers in 1946.
46, yes. What was that like in 1946?
Well, gosh, of course, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
In 1946, he's actually stationed in Atlanta, Georgia, or just outside Atlanta, Georgia, in a munitions plant. And when the war ended, he started to work for a watchmaker who was a relative, one of the sons of my dad's, or my dad rented a room in a house. Mm-hmm. And
so by coincidence, almost.
Almost by coincidence, that's correct. And he started in with this watchmaker and started learning the jewelry business. And at that time, it was a jewelry trade business.
Your dad had no interest in it up until that point.
Well, before the war, before he went into the munitions plant while he was in the Army, he was born and raised in St. Louis, and he worked for Emerson Electric studying to be a tool and die maker. So if that's anything common to the jewelry business, that would be about it.
There could have been some transferred skills for something like that.
I guess possibly.
Possibly. So he came back to St. Louis, and he opened up the store from there?
Well, when he came back to St. Louis, he went into an old jeweler's building downtown, a building that's no longer here, at 711 Chestnut, which was at that time was a building known as the Holland Building. Hmm. It was full of jewelers, and he rented space with another jeweler, a diamond dealer actually, and what he did was primarily did sizing and jewelry bench work for other retail type jewelers. So he was known as a wholesale bench jeweler.
And at that point, was it mostly watches, or what did the jewelry business look like, and what were some of those things you would be selling?
Well, back then, you know, it was after the war, and people were putting things back together in this country, and a lot of people needed jobs, and of course, he needed a job, and I remember him telling me a story one day where he would park about two blocks north of the old Sticks, Baron Fuller, and in the wintertime, he'd walk through Sticks, Baron Fuller to stay warm, cross the street, walk through Famous Bar to stay warm, cross the street, and another block was Chestnut, and walked into the Holland Building and went up to the ninth floor and did his work. So one day he stopped in Famous Bar and he said, "Hey, look, give me your sizing, give me your setting, and give me your repair work in the morning, and I'll drop it off on the way home at night."
Wow.
And so that was that was the first taste of customer service, I guess, that Setley Jewelers offered. He did that both for Sticks and for Famous.
That was the shortcut. Did he always look for opportunities? Was he that kind of guy?
Well, by this time, he had a couple of kids. I'm a middle child of five.
Yeah.
And he certainly needed to make a house payment and raise his family. So
out of necessity, he was looking for those opportunities.
Yes, sir.
Because not everyone would think that, to walk through and offer, you know, I can help you, I'll drop it off on the way back.
Right, exactly. And he was very good at crafting what he did, very good.
So did he meet your mom before he started the company or after?
He met my mom while he was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Right, while he was in the service. And right after the war, they got married and went to Biloxi for a quick honeymoon and came back, and that's where he learned the jewelry business before he decided, well, I know more people in St. Louis. That's where I'm from. So he moved his young family, my older brother and partner, Gus, back to St. Louis the very next year.
Wow. What are some of your earliest memories of Setley Jewelers?
My dad used to get me out of mom's hair, is the way I put it, and I'm sure it was very truthful. He used to get me out of mom's hair on Saturdays and bring me into the shop and he taught me my bench work, and I did everything from stamp jewelry, what we would call coin envelopes or jewelry work envelopes, and he taught me how to polish and taught me how to eventually how to size and set stones. And I told Laura a story earlier today, actually, about a ring that I was making smaller. It was kind of a squarish ring on the outside, and, of course, the rings are round on the inside. Mm-hmm. And it had some filigree work in it. And I was a little bit tentative with it and having a little bit of trouble with it. And so my workbench was right next to his, and he said, "Let me see that, Gary." And I gave him the ring, and he did his magic with it and put it back together and did everything just right. And he started to hand it back to me, and as he did, I started to take it, but yet he held on to it. So we met eyes, and I'm like, "Well, why don't you hand me this ring?" And he said, "You know, you could size this ring every day and make a dollar. Or you could have sold it and made $10. And then he tossed it up in the air. I caught it, and I went ahead and filed it, emeried it, polished it, and cleaned it, and that job was done. And I think that's one of the more valuable lessons he ever taught me.
Hmm. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
So what has changed in the jewelry business over the years? Gary and Laura Setley from Setley Jewelers will continue our conversation with them about their family business, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. In some cases, there's another generation in the wings ready to come up. They've been training. They've been working for it. Other times, that's not the case. But if that is the case, maybe there is a next generation. Maybe they need to develop more to be effective owners. Maybe they need to learn more of the business side. Maybe they're still developing. Have you considered calling CMA Consulting? They help with effective generational transition. When was the last time any member of your business even sat down to discuss the insights into the business or that transition? Don't wait any longer. The earlier you start, the better off you are. And if you know a family business, make sure they know CMA Consulting's there to help. Their website is cmaconsult.com, or you can also give them a call at 314-721-1860. cmaconsult.com. The website every family business should know. cmaconsult.com. Weekends on KMOX, we tell the story of family businesses, and this weekend, a great one, Setley Jewelers, which started at the end of World War II, the Setley family moving to St. Louis and creating this jewelry store. Gary and Laura Setley join us in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, and if you'd like to learn more about them, go to cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. What's your dad like? Is he always hands-on with everything inside of Setley Jewelers?
He's hands-on. He's genuine. We always joke around because he loves to talk.
Yeah. to the customers or employees?
Customers, us,
or
everyone. He's a great talk. He talks, you know. And I think I get that trait from him, too. You know, what I've learned from him is making that genuine connection with any customer that comes in. Gosh, I've had people come in the 3 months that I've been there so far that will say, "Yeah, well, last time I saw you were, you know, this high." They'll put their hand about 2.5 or 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And I'll end up, you know, sharing with them what I've, the past 20 years of my life or the past, you know, stories of me coming in and hanging out with my dad at work.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary, how do you keep customers that long at Setley Jewelers that they could remember something like that, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's the nature of the jewelry business or a lot of businesses, but we've had customers who, and many cases, their parents bought wedding sets from us, and in several cases, their grandparents did. In fact, we had a case not too long ago, it's been a couple of months now, where a good friend of my wife actually said, "Hey, if you're going to buy a ring, you need to go see Gary Setley over at Setley Jewelers." And her daughter said, "Well, my boyfriend said that I need to see their grandparents' jeweler." And their grandparents' jeweler, and they're from a different side of town, and their grandparents' jeweler happened to be Setley Jewelers. So we got a little lucky on that one. I wish I could say it happens all the time, but all we ask for is that opportunity.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to ask you about this because you hear that term luck that comes up sometimes. There's a lot of hard work that goes into starting a business. There's probably not a lot of luck. There might be some, but not a lot. And mostly it's hard work.
I think most of it's hard work, and I've heard the phrase, "The harder I work, the luckier I get."
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's mostly hard work. There may be a spoonful of luck involved, but businesses start and they prosper and they grow through years of hard work, attention to detail, taking care of customers, taking care of employees, and taking care of the business.
And what does that say about Gary's dad that's looking for an opportunity? I love that he would walk through, just to stay warm, he'd walk through a building and then find an opportunity while he's walking through a building to stay warm.
That is a great story. I hope that's on your website, because that's a great story. And it's a very entrepreneurial story. It's a very practical story. And I wish I had a chance to talk to Gary's father, because he sounds like a real character.
You work with your brother, Gary?
Right. My brother Gus and I have been partners for close to 45 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great relationship. Like any family business, you butt heads occasionally, but you always work things out, and we'll always be brothers.
Do you guys work out of the same building all the time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So close quarters with each other.
Within the store, we have separate offices, but other than that, we have the same showroom, you bet.
Laura, do they get along? How's their working relationship?
The working relationship's great. They get along. We all get along. One big family in there.
What about afterwards?
I don't see much of that. I know family times, family events.
Yeah.
I mean, stories they tell, reminiscing on things. They seem to have a good relationship.
Yeah. So when your father was running the business, you and your brother now both 50-50 ownership at Setley Jewelers. Did your dad, he purposely designed it this way? He wanted both of you into the business, or was that always the intention?
Well, we had done different things right out of school, and he was, and my brother came into the business probably a few years before I did, because I'm a few years younger and mm-hmm. I was still going to college. And when I got out of school, I came into the business, although I'd worked in the business for several years, you know, between going to school on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and working at the store Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So,
yeah. For all those years, you've worked with your brother.
Absolutely.
Any of you guys ever talked about retirement?
Yes and no. I mean, it's the kind of thing where one day, I guess, but I don't know what I'd do.
Who would you talk
retirement.
To, you know, if you retired? It seems like you love the relationships you built with the customers and the different people that work there, and you love the interaction between.
Well, we're both, Gus and I, and Laura, for that matter, all of us at Setley Jewelers, we're people. Mm-hmm. And we like the relationships that we build with people and even generations of people. And it's always fun. It's pleasant when somebody comes in the store.
Where is the store located?
If you're familiar with Town and Country, we're on the north side of Clayton Road, just west of 141 or Old Woods Mill Road at 279 Lamp and Lantern Village.
When did you move to that location? Because your father started downtown.
We moved out of downtown. My brother and I bought the business in 1979.
Okay.
And we moved out of downtown in 1989 into Clayton, and spent from 89 to 2016 in Clayton, and then moved to Town and Country 3 years ago this past July.
Do you do a lot of wedding rings?
Oh, gosh. Wedding rings is probably it's a very, very large part of our business.
Is that
engagement
right?
And wedding rings, yes.
You find when the people come in there, the different stories that people have. Like, for example, my grandma's wedding ring, and they're trying to work it for another generation, and there's probably all kinds of different stories that you encounter over the course of any given month.
Well, there's a new story with every couple, and sometimes they're similar, other times they're completely different. It's not uncommon at all for people to bring in either their mothers or grandmothers or family members' diamond and want us to custom make a ring for it. And we have the tools and we have the programs in which we can put it in a three-dimensional file, a digital file, and show it to them, and even have the ability to slide a hand underneath it with the same skin color that she has.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, technology allows us to do a lot of nice things today.
Is that the biggest change that you've seen in the industry over the years?
In the diamond part of the industry, I've seen two great changes, two big changes over the years. One of them, the first one was probably in the late 1990s, and that's when the brand Hearts on Fire Diamonds came into play. Mm-hmm. Hearts on Fire Diamonds was the first diamond company to make diamonds cut for beauty, not for weight. Hmm. Because the crown angles, pavilion angles, the heights, the depths, all the percentages, all the math and science that goes into diamond cutting was done previously to keep as large of a diamond as you possibly could out of that piece of rough. It's going to yield a given clarity and color grade, which people always ask about, but it's not, it's the cut that counts. And the cut doesn't mean the shape. The cut means how well that shape is fashioned. And when Hearts on Fire started making everything perfectly cut by the mathematical equations that have been known for literally generations, but never put into play, they produced the most perfectly cut, which translates to the most brilliant diamond in the world. That was the biggest play on the change of the diamond industry that I've seen. And they had such a big impact that so many other diamond companies began cutting diamonds for beauty, not for weight. And they would bill them as the same thing, but, well, I guess like in a lot of things, their butt got in the way because they didn't have it branded. Hearts on Fire is a brand, and, you know, when if she's one in a million, shouldn't her diamond be too? Mm-hmm. And that was their tag. And,
yeah.
And we went along with that and agreed with that, and it's been very successful for us.
Those trends, is that mostly on the industry side, or do you find that on the consumer side, too, that people pay attention and they start to ask about these things?
I think when the consumer has an interest, and when they have a sincere interest and they want to know about these things, they want to go to jewelers who aren't just salespeople but are literally jewelers, and they want to go somewhere that can really explain things to them in depth and so that they know what they're getting themselves into. The other big change in the diamond industry has been of recent years, most recent years, and this is the biggest thing I've seen since the Hearts on Fire brand, and that is lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds has a lot of interest now. In fact, we have a lot of people that are asking for lab-grown diamonds.
When you say a lot of people asking for it, where do they find out about it? And normally, what do they ask you for?
I think a lot of people in a generation, I don't know what age group this generation is known as, 25 to 35.
Yeah. Okay.
In that age group, a lot of people are very, very ecologically minded, where they want to make sure they're doing things that are not going to hurt the environment. There's been a lot of talk about carbon emissions, about water usage, about moving dirt, and about different things that are going on. If you remember the book and the movie Blood Diamonds, and concerns there too with working conditions. And laboratory-grown diamonds are really no different than laboratory-grown flowers. When something's grown in a greenhouse, well, if you're going to give your wife flowers and it's grown in a greenhouse and you're using somebody like one of my favorite florists, Walter Knoll, then you actually know that they're coming from a greenhouse. Well, they don't have to come from the wild, and neither do diamonds, because they are diamonds. They're not synthetic. They're not fake diamonds. They're not diamond simulants. They are real diamonds, and they're just the technology is there today to be able to use the same type of heat and pressure to take what's known as a diamond seed, like a molecular seed, and grow it from there. And in about 12 weeks, it can have something that can be fashioned into a one-carat-sized diamond.
We learn more about the jewelry business and what sets Setley Jewelers apart from the rest, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Gary and Laura Setley join us in studio to tell their family business story on The Business of Family Business on KMOX. I am your host, Ryan Recker. Thank you for joining us as we tell this family business story. Setley Jewelers here in St. Louis, Missouri. Their story goes all the way back to the end of World War II. Gary and Laura Setley in studio to tell that story, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. And if you have a great family business story to share on this program, we would love to hear it. Reach out to Dan Bean. Go to their website. Send them an email. CMAconsult.com is the website, and send a tip about a great family business in St. Louis that you would like to hear profiled on this program. The website, again, is CMAconsult.com. At Setley Jewelers, you've seen a lot of trends, and you've mentioned a few of them here. When you hear about some of these technological advances, are you skeptical at first? Do you have to say, I got to see it for myself, or what's your general approach when you when certain trends start popping up? How do you approach them?
Well, when there's jewelry trends, we know our market share pretty mm-hmm. well. Certain jewelry trends that border almost costume-type jewelry or what have you, we pretty much stay away from those. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of industry publications that we read, mostly online now, and we get to see things in the making before it's actually put out to the industry.
Interesting.
Yes.
Does that mean you go to trade shows?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Do they show things like that off at trade shows?
Trade shows always have something new to offer.
Yeah. With these diamonds that you were talking about, what does that do for the price of diamonds in general, the market price of, well, let's say just diamonds in existence versus lab-grown diamonds?
We found that lab-grown diamonds, for the same clarity and the same color, which, by the way, are available from lower grades to the highest of grades, the same clarity and same color, the same kind of diamond as a earth mined diamond, the lab-grown diamond can range between 30 to as much as 50% less.
Is that right?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. That really makes a big difference, I'm sure, in
Absolutely.
People's decision-making processes.
Partially. It just depends. And you know, we're there to take care of the customer and answer any questions they have. And we feel like our business, we've been in the business so long, we have a lot of knowledge about it, and we can answer any of those questions.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, we've had different people onto this program that talk about how technology changes the way the industry looks at what they're doing, what they offer. And this seems to be another one of these type of situations where this could be a pretty big game changer.
Technology always has the potential to be a game changer. It can be disruptive. There are other things that can be disruptive as well. It can be a new business model. It can be a new delivery system. It can even be regulatory changes. All of these things can be disruptive. And it's just another something, another wave that a family business has to be aware of and has to deal with. They come to all businesses at all times and somewhere out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It just happens. The internet would be an example.
Yeah, sure. So how long have these diamonds been available?
Well, lab-grown diamonds actually was started by General Electric way back.
Oh, is that right?
Way back in 1954. But in 1954, when it was started, not produced, but started, the only things that can come closely to a diamond was a piece of carbon that had the same hardness as a diamond. Mm-hmm. And over a period of years and with the technological advances, it eventually got to the point where they could produce what could be fashioned into a commercial grade or a jewelry grade diamond. Mm-hmm. However, the cost hadn't been able to meet the same kind of cost that it was for an earth mined diamond. Well, a couple of years later, all of a sudden it met it, and then it actually surpassed by being a less costly diamond.
Wow. That's how it normally works when it comes to technology. Eventually,
Absolutely.
At a certain point, the price drops enough where it starts to become more viable.
Sure.
You see that, too, in the food industry with the different the Impossible burgers and things like that. So it's the technology starts to catch up. And then it's at the same time the consumer trends are meeting up and catching up to it as well, and it starts to catch on. Laura, I want to ask you, what are those things people are asking for now? What are some of those different items that people come into Setley Jewelers asking about?
Oh, well, I'm typically the first person they get when they walk in the door. So,
yeah.
You know, asking, you know, if there's a special occasion they're looking for, what they're there for. I've seen a lot of anniversary bands, birthstones, custom jewelry, you know, a lot of engagement rings, guys coming in nervous, you know, they're with their moms and their brothers and all sorts of family coming in, kind of wanting to take that first look, you know, unknowingly what they really want to come in, you know, what their final product will be. And I think for me, just asking, you know, asking questions and kind of trying to figure out, you know,
A lot of people are nervous when they come in. Does that happen?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, some people are kind of nervous.
They get the, they know the significance of what they're right. about to do, you know, you looking know, for a ring.
There's a couple of different ways they can, people go when they walk in. They're either, you know, get ready to get engaged. They're ready to get wedding bands, baby push presents, you mm-hmm. know, birthday presents. We have, you know, we also carry, you know, your everyday wear sterling silver jewelry like Lagos and, you know, different stuff.
We continue one last time with Setley Jewelers. Gary and Laura Setley join us in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting to tell their family business story. It is the business of family business, presented by CMA Consulting. There are certain things about family businesses that set them apart from many other businesses. Imagine what it's like when a business owner is ready to make a decision to transition to another generation. Maybe they're ready to retire. Maybe they're even thinking about selling. CMA Consulting, they have a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. And sometimes the hardest part is identifying who will be those effective leaders in the business moving forward. They have the talent experts, tax, legal, accounting, bank, risk management. They have a lot of different resources that make it easy for you to make that decision because they excel in helping increase the odds of a generational transition and keeping family harmony. The website, you should check them out at cmaconsult.com. You can also give them a phone call, 314-721-1860. And it doesn't hurt to message them and say, Dan, what can you do to help my family business? They'll give you a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. You can talk about some of those issues you're facing, and they'll let you know if they can help. And of all the family members I've talked to and all the family businesses I've spoken to, CMA has done great things to help. Find out more about them by going to cmaconsult.com. If you're enjoying this story of a family business, you can find more by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. We continue one last time with Gary and Laura Setley from Setley Jewelers, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this radio program, The Business of Family Business.
I can see perhaps guys coming in with their friends or girls coming in with their friends, but they bring their mothers, too. That's a
mothers,
it's a family thing.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, their mother knows best, right?
How about that? So it is a family a family thing. So when they come in and you help them and you start to discuss some of the, you know, the whatever the occasion may be, you direct them that way, what happens after that? Do you find that it's just a decision-making process of trying to lock down what exactly they want? Or what exactly happens after that?
If you're talking about, you know, a guy coming in, he wants to get engaged, he said he has an idea of what his soon-to-be, hopefully, fiancé wants to, you know, wear for the rest of her life. Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it. We'll narrow it down. We'll talk about diamond size, diamond cut. We'll talk about shape. We'll talk about if they want the halo, if they want to, you know, what their setting wants to look like.
There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of options that go into it. And so once we can narrow down those options, we can find, you know, we'll find that perfect ring.
Do they ever know the ring size?
Oh, that's a good question. And what would you say, Dad? Eight times out of ten?
Wow. That's pretty
maybe?
Good.
Or, you know, the good answer is I'll figure it out. Or they'll devise a plan. And
it's kind of funny. Sometimes the gentleman will bring in a ring, says, well, I know she wears this one all the time. And we'll say, what hand, what finger? And then it stumps them.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Because that changes things.
Well, sure. Even your same finger, your ring finger on your left hand, is most likely half size to a size different than your ring finger on your right hand.
Oh, wow.
And you could find that out by taking your wedding band off of one and trying to put it on the other one.
Right now.
Your more dominant hand.
If you are right-handed, it would probably fit tighter. If you're left-handed, it would probably fit looser.
I guess that's true. Maybe a little bit tighter. I'm right-hand dominant, so
right.
I guess I can feel that a little bit. Tricks of the trade. At Setley Jewelers, what has the internet done for your company?
Oh, I think the internet's really, it's a two-way street. We use the internet in order to let people know, most likely on their phones today, if not on a laptop or a desktop or tablet. We use the internet to let people know where we are, who we are, how to reach us, the brands that we carry. They get on Setley.com. and can find out a lot of information right there, right off of our website. Mm-hmm. As far as internet trading or e-sales, mm-hmm. so to speak, we haven't gotten too much involved into that. We're pretty much service, although we do have customers from all over the country and, mm-hmm. and outstate in Metro East and outstate Missouri. Most of our business is in town and surrounding area.
I would think the way the internet works, it probably helps when someone sees something they like, and then they can just show it to you. Like, here you go. It's like, here's one way to draw an idea of if they know exactly what they're looking for.
Well, I also think that it's very helpful if people see something on the internet that they like, and they can either email it to Laura or I or anybody at Setley Jewelers, mm-hmm. Or they could either send us a picture or bring it in and see if we have it or if we can make it or what our price would be. And we're extremely competitive, and that's never been an issue. The issue is convenience and customer service.
Yeah.
And I think we have a way to do that in town with people when they can walk in, and if it were an auto dealership, say, kick the tire. And they can certainly try things on in our store and not have to worry about whether they're going to like it or not getting shipped through the mail.
Talking about just the industry in general, is there a reason why we put the wedding ring on the, you know, the one finger that it sits on, the left hand on the one finger? Is there something behind that?
Well, actually, there is. Yes, some people know this, and other people have heard different stories about it. But apparently, in ancient times, the Romans believed that there is a vein that went from the left hand ring finger straight to the heart.
Huh.
And so that was known as vena amoris.
Hmm.
Vena amoris meaning vein to the heart.
Interesting.
Right.
I saw, Laura, you're looking at your hand. You're saying, you're inspecting there to see.
I see. I knew this fact very well. But
the vein of love.
But I have never actually, like, you know, I see veins. But
well, that's interesting. And it's stuck all those years.
So when you get married, your wedding band, you put that, do you know if you put that on top or above?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, above or below your engagement ring?
Mm-hmm.
You also keep that one below so it's closer to your heart as well.
Oh, okay. So there's these traditions that have kept after the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
That's pretty amazing.
And then kids come and you just keep stacking those bands on top of each other.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Kids, anniversaries.
See, I feel so clueless to this. If my wife always has to drop these hints. And I have to write them down so I don't forget.
If your wife is listening, she'll be shaking her head yes right now. I deserve it.
Are there any other third generation members involved today?
You are looking at her.
Yeah.
It's me. It's just me right now.
That's so far.
So far.
Even on your brother's side, is there anyone third generation involved? So.
Well, let's see. Gus has four kids and I have four kids. Yeah. And they're all in their 20s or 30s. And
yeah.
So. You never know. Things can, they're always welcome.
Yeah. Do you feel there's some sort of pressure there? Are you going to follow in the footsteps?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah?
I'm hoping so. It's definitely a different change of pace from what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a big difference of selling someone a gym membership versus a diamond that could be an heirloom from, you know, someone's next generation or next generation. I've seen, you know, as like we talked about earlier, I've seen people come in with their great-grandmother's ring, and they have diamonds in those, and they want to reset it in their own. You can't do that with a gym membership. That's yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, that being a very sentimental part of it, the story behind it, you know, I really enjoy that part.
What's your record keeping like? Do you have a bunch of documents in the building somewhere from customers back to the, you know, 40s and 50s?
Well, thankfully, everything is kept electronically from last 20 to 25 years.
Oh, great.
And so we can go back at least that far. And we actually do have records that are kept under a customer note file in a program called Jewelry Shop Pro. And it's a program that's specifically made for our jewelry stores in which we enter not only all of our customer information, but we have a note file for that. We could take a lot of the old sales and things and go back to some of those too. A lot of times that's done for appraisal purposes or repair works or what have
okay.
you.
Okay. I figured every once in a while you would have the customer, oh, my mom came in here 20 years ago and we can't remember what she did type of questions.
Okay. Well, more than occasionally.
Yeah?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Wow. And see, or somebody could bring something in and say, I think my mom got this from you, and I don't know if I can upgrade or trade in or what we can do with it. And I said, well, let's take a look and see what it's about and get right on the computer and pull it right up.
People come back to you, and there's a reason for that, and it sets you apart from some of the other places that people have options for jewelry, like department stores or whatnot.
Well, often when people say, oh, you're in the jewelry business, and I want to say, no, I'm in a relationship business, because most of the people that come through, it's a happy time. It's something, unless it's some type of repair that needs to be done, even with that, it's sentimental to them. It's because they've had this ring or this necklace or earrings or something in their family for a generation or two, or are given to me on my 10th birthday, and I'm now in my 30s, and I want to get this fixed, or I want to get it sized to fit me, or what have you. It's always something that involves not only customer service, but more importantly, something that's meaningful to them.
Right.
And if it's meaningful to them, we want to be able to take good care of them with it. We're fortunate that we're a small family business that has our own workshop in-house. So very, very few things that ever come in our store ever leaves our store unless it leaves with the person that brought it in.
Right.
Repaired or refinished or fixed.
Wow. Who are some of your oldest customers?
Oh, gosh.
You probably have some that you know from
years. Actually, we do. I actually have people that come in that, well, my late father, he's deceased, let's see, 20 years ago now. And there are people that he did their wedding sets that their grandchildren, they even have great-grandchildren that are starting to come through our doors.
Wow.
And it is a wow.
Wow.
It's really something for us, because people tell us their name like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. He said, oh, they have to come see you, or this was, or your dad made this. And like I said, he's been gone for 20 years, but he may have done a wedding set for somebody in 1951 that we're doing their kids, and now their grandkids are coming in.
Isn't it amazing they can say their name and you immediately know? You're
well,
like, wow.
Yes, it's not amazing, but it's comforting.
Yeah, it's amazing, I think. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your thoughts on this story, Setley Jewelers, after these years and looking at another generation. What are some of your impressions?
This is a business that began from very humble beginnings, from Gustav, which is Gary's father, and a very, very good entrepreneur, could see opportunities and could seize them. He persevered, passed it on to the next generation, which is Gary and his brother Gus. They have kept up the quality of service and education. I mean, we heard things about the diamond and gem industry that I bet a lot of people didn't know today.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's passing it on to the third generation and getting them involved. So I think this is just a gem of a story.
Oh, yeah. If people wanted to look you up online, what's your website address?
Setley.com.
How do you spell that?
SAETTELE.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 279 Lamp and Lantern Village, which is just west of 141 Old Woods Mill Road and on the north side of Clayton Road.
I understand that you have a pretty big event coming up.
We do. We're benefiting Friends of Kids with Cancer. It's a local organization, which is very close to our hearts. And we're doing a benefit for them and kicking off our over 70 years anniversary sale. And our anniversary sale is going to go through the holidays, and where things are going to be up to 60% off.
Wow, through the anniversary sale. Well, how many years is the anniversary?
Right now, we believe it's 73.
Yeah.
Correct.
You believe.
Yes.
But there's a little bit of wiggle room, perhaps. Gary, Laura, Setley Jewelers, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the story here today on the Business of Family Business.
That was a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.